only occasionally. These types of streams are common in the West, and with aridification from climate change, it's likely there will be more of these intermittent waterways.
The Obama administration had adopted a rule that would restrict the ability of farmers to use pesticides and fertilizers on land that could drain into wetlands and streams, but ranchers, farmers, and real estate developers viewed the rule as infringing on their property rights.
The current administration repealed the old rule and now plans to replace it.
Cloud seeding is usually a way of increasing rain or snowfall in dry regions. However, officials in Indonesia are using the practice to stop the rain.
In Jakarta, heavy rains since New Year's Eve have caused floods that killed more than 60 people. Almost 400,000 are staying in shelters, as more downpours are still expected. Some places of the city were 19 feet underwater, and soldiers sprayed disinfectant to stop the possible spread of disease.
In an effort to prevent more rain from hitting Jakarta, The Guardian reports that the Indonesian government began seeding clouds so they would dissipate before reaching the city.
Daniel Rosenfeld, a professor at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, told Earther that tropical clouds like the ones in Indonesia carry much water, and he worries that seeding would cause them to release more rain than they otherwise would have.
Jakarta already has the distinction of being one of the fastest sinking urban areas in the world, and as sea levels rise, the government has announced it will relocate the city.
There are great hopes that hydrogen will become a main energy source as common as gasoline.
Hydrogen is plentiful, and when it's burned, it releases no pollution. But one problem is how to produce it in a cheap and sustainable manner.
In the past, hydrogen has been captured by using expensive metals like platinum to cause a chemical splitting of the element from oxygen in water molecules.
Now, scientists from the University of New South Wales say they can produce hydrogen by using low-cost and abundant metals like iron and nickel in a process that uses much less energy.
Despite the growing market for electric vehicles, refueling a hydrogen car would be done in minutes, as opposed to the hours it takes to recharge a lithium battery in an electric car.
Forbes reports that the first zero-emission hydrogen rail project in the U.S. is being planned for San Bernardino County in Southern California. The local transportation authority will operate a commuter train on a 9-mile stretch that will run on fuel cells.
There's already a commuter rail line running on hydrogen fuel in Germany, with more planned in France. China saw the first fuel cell tram go into operation in 2015.
And finally, a court in Chile has ruled in favor of indigenous people who claimed their water supply is threatened by expansion of the lithium mining industry.
The Atacama Desert in Chile is one of the driest places on Earth. It's a huge flat area surrounded by mountains, similar to Death Valley in California.
When precipitation does fall in the desert or flows from the mountains, the water gets trapped in the basin where it eventually evaporates, leaving behind light blue salt flats.
Not surprisingly, the area has been harvested for salt, but increasingly it's being mined for lithium to meet growing demand from the electric vehicle industry for lithium-ion batteries. Currently, the Atacama produces one-third of the world's supply of the element.
Soaring lithium demand has raised concerns about whether mining can be done without harming nearby communities and the environment. Harvesting the material involves pumping huge volumes of brine into massive evaporation ponds.
Reuters reports that the court upheld a complaint by an indigenous advisory council saying that the mining company's plan was insufficient to protect the environment.
The court said its decision took into account the particular fragility of the Atacama's ecosystem and the high level of scientific uncertainty about the area's groundwater.
The court added that sensitive ecosystems must be safeguarded, even more when they include the ancestral habitat of native peoples, whom the state of Chile is obligated to protect.
The mining company could face closure of its operations or revocation of its environmental permits.
That's it for this week in water, and we'll see you next time.
What do you do if the bond voters passed for your agency ends up falling short of accomplishing what you planned? Well, if you're the Portland School Board, you vote to have the staff prepare a new $238 million bond to cover the cost overruns, and they did just that yesterday. In 2017, voters approved $790 million to cover extensive renovations at Madison and Benson High Schools and construction of a new Lincoln High and Kellogg Middle School. The 2020 bond would not increase property taxes and was supported by three-quarters of those asked in a recent poll. In 2012, district voters approved a $482 million bond to overhaul Roosevelt, Franklin, and Grant High Schools, leaving Cleveland, Jefferson, and Wilson as the only high schools not getting a major rebuild.
Yesterday, Mayor Ted Wheeler and his wife, Katrina Molly Wheeler, announced that they plan to divorce. The couple said family and close friends have known about the decision for some time. Wheeler, who is seeking his second term as mayor this year, has been seen around City Hall without a wedding ring for a couple of months. The Wheelers married in 2005 and have one child, a daughter, who is in middle school. Also yesterday, Wheeler announced he would be managing the Bureau of Environmental Services and Portland Parks and Recreation, which had been managed by Commissioner Nick Fish, who passed away on January 2nd of this year. A Turner, Oregon woman is suing the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for almost $10 million after her husband's confession of child sexual abuse to church leaders led to his arrest. The lawsuit, filed in Marion County Circuit Court, accuses local church leaders of violating Timothy Johnson's confidentiality and priest-penitent privilege. This suit is in sharp contrast with those that accuse churches of failing to report abuse to authorities and treating sex abuse like a sin instead of a crime. The family's attorney said that the man's confession was meant to be confidential and leaders failed to advise Johnson that if he confessed to the abuse, they would report his actions to law enforcement. Johnson confessed to local leaders and members of the church court that he had sexually abused a minor. In 2017, Johnson pleaded guilty to four counts of second-degree sexual abuse and was sentenced to 15 years in prison. The lawsuit requests $5.5 million for his wife for loss of his income and extreme emotional distress, as well as $1 million for each of his four children. Oregon is one of 28 states that specifically includes clergy on its list of mandatory reporters required to report known or suspected incidents of child abuse or neglect.
The rate of electric scooter injuries among urban American millennials has increased ninefold in 5 years. Between 2014 and 2018, a total of more than 39,000 e-scooter injuries were reported to the U.S. National Electronic Injury Surveillance System. One quarter of those injuries included a broken bone, and one third of injuries were to the head, double the rate among bicyclists. According to recent studies, less than 5% of e-scooter riders wear helmets. As of the end of 2018, over 85,000 e-scooters were available for public use in nearly 100 U.S. cities.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, January 8th, 2020. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Yasmin Kobanoglu and Dan Raphael. The producer is Nat Moon, and our engineer is Jeff Henderson. The director of Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Erin J. Bernard.
And I'm Nat Moon. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO. At 8, it's Voices from the Edge, progressive talk radio from a grassroots perspective with your host, Joanne Hardesty. At 9, it's Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know with host Teresa Mitchell. At 10, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with Dennis Bernstein. Then at 11, it's Between the Covers with David Naiman, featuring an interview with Karthika Nair, the author of Until the Lions. And at 11:30, it's Words and Pictures, where you can hear conversations with pioneering animators and comic artists. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm or use our mobile app and click on Donate. Stick around for news from the Boo coming up right now.
And now it's time for News from the Boo, the weekly segment from people inside of and around KBOO, with news from your community radio station.
Well, good evening. You are tuned into News from the Boo, our weekly look at all things KBOO, from things going on outside of KBOO and inside KBOO. It's news for our volunteers, our members, and our listeners who are just interested in knowing what's going on, and those of you who feel like maybe becoming a volunteer here at KBOO Community Radio and are like, hey, what do volunteers do there? Well, guess what? I'm going to tell you all the things that we have coming up over the next few weeks here at your community radio station. First, joining me in studio tonight is our Public Affairs Director, Tammy. Tammy, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you feeling? Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. I'm going to pot you down a little bit. That's what we do here on the radio when someone is a little louder than the other
I'm
person.
Very excited.
Well, yeah, because it's 2020. Happy New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year.
First news from the Boo in 2020.
Woo!
We got exciting things to announce. Well, Tammy's here to talk about a special remote broadcast that we are doing on January 20th. So what's coming up on Monday, January 20th?
It is MLK Day, so happy MLK Day for the future. Mm-hmm. And KBOO does the annual broadcast from the Highland Church, and this year the theme is Till Victory is Won. It's the 35th anniversary, and we're going to be doing the remote broadcast, so there is a media room, so it's a pretty cool thing that we do, where KBOO sets up in the media room, and we have anchors, and they talk to the people that are during the event, in between the speakers. They also are responsible for the remote broadcast with the chief engineer, so it's a really good opportunity to learn how to do a remote broadcast. Yep, really neat. And you get to, again, be part of the community and meet new people.
So we're looking for volunteers for that day?
We are looking for volunteers. We have a good handful, but more is better, you know, definitely. There is the volunteers, like I said, in the air room that's on location, and then there's also going to be someone at the air room in the station here at KBOO. So, you know, just in case anything happens, any type of malfunctions, then there's a person who's there live, you know, making the switch, hitting the buttons, just in case. So if you are interested in doing that, that's also available. Right now, the shifts that is open is from 2 p.m. to 4. And yeah, I'd be more than happy to show you how to do that.
Cool. So if you're a train board op, then, you know, sign on up on your Vignette account or talk to Tammy. If you are like, hey, I want to learn how to be a board op, this is actually a perfect opportunity for you to come in and learn how to do it, because it's pretty low key to mm-hmm. be the board op here at KBOO. And I know that a lot of people, when they think about remote broadcasts from KBOO, we are well known for like the Waterfront Blues Fest and all these things that happen during the summertime. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking to get involved and seeing how our remote broadcasts work, this is a great time to do it too. Because like maybe you're not around during the summer, and we do have remotes that happen during the wintertime, this one specifically. So it's a fun thing to learn how to do remote broadcasts. And I know our engineer Arthur will be very appreciative for all the people who want to learn how to do that, because it's a good time to practice now so that you can gear up to get ready for our summer. But this event is so important. This is a relationship we've had for many years at KBOO, where we broadcast on MLK Day every single year. So, but that broadcast is starting at what time here on air for our listeners who are going to tune in that day?
So it's going to start at about 11:30, of course, because it is a live broadcast. They're going to be, you know, a little, maybe, you know, 11:15, 11:30. And it's going to end at approximately 6:30. And before that, there is going to be special programming, and it's not going to be the regular programming. It's all preempt. And we're going to have some interviews from I mean, we have local NAACP chapter president. We also have a representative from the workers' rights, the Martin Luther King Workers' Rights Center. And, I mean, a lot of really great things. All black programmers are going to be facilitating it, doing the interviews. And we're even going to have some on the street interviews happening. It's very, nice. Very special. Nice. So shout out to the programmer Reggae Bob for that idea. Very excited about doing that. And yeah, so it's going to be very special. And also, as far as volunteering, it's going to be really neat for the KBOO volunteer, especially if you're a new volunteer, to be able to help out an event like this on a capacity where you are the media, where you are part of the community, where you are making these relationships with communities of color, with black communities. And so it's even like one step up than like a regular, you know, whether it's a music show or some or a music broadcast or something. It does have that, you know, gravitas to it, like that kind of importance, and it's a big deal. So definitely, even if you aren't volunteering, you know, come to the event.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for letting us know about what's going on there. So that's Monday, January 20th. Our MLK coverage will, well, I guess so, our programming will start at 8 a.m.?
Yes, 8 a.m. And then after Democracy Now.
After Democracy Now. And then we'll go over to the live broadcast from Highland Church starting at around 11:30-ish. It's super live radio.
Yeah, live radio. That's the best part of it.
Yeah, but it's a great collaboration. We really appreciate them collaborating with us because we want to be able to bring as many voices from communities to you, to our KBOO community, for people who maybe can't attend that day.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And well, you'll definitely hear some programmers, some voices that you're familiar with that are going to be at the event on their own volition and also as programmers and anchors.
Doing the live announcement.
Yep, exactly. So it's awesome. Going to be very, very cooperative with everyone.
Okay. Well, so tune on in then. Thank you, Tammy, for letting us know what's going on.
Thank you, Portland.
So before we get on to announcements about committees and all the other things, the ways you can get involved in KBOO, I want to give a gigantic thank you for those who gave to our Give Guide. Give Guide, in case you don't know, is done through Willamette Week. They select, I think it's like 150 nonprofits, and we were lucky enough to be selected again this year. And it's a way for people who support nonprofits to give to their favorite nonprofits right at the end of the year. And we were able to not only meet, but go over our goal, which was for $45,000. And we managed to raise just over $47,000 thanks to you, right? That's what KBOO is. We are supported by hundreds of people, all giving small amounts to help make community radio possible. And it's the grassroots effort that we love and really support everything that we do. It's because of donations through GiveGuide and, you know, through our membership drives that we're able to do what we do and able to support our volunteers and bring you the kind of radio that you believe in. So thank you so much to every single one of you who contributed to GiveGuide. And we also sent out an end of the year mailer to our members, and we were able to meet that goal as well. Thank you so much to all of our members. And another successful fundraiser that we had right at the end of the year was our book and record sale. And we were able to meet that goal thanks to you, thanks to our supporters who said, yeah, that's a fun way to support KBOO. And, you know, people gave books and records. You know, all the items that were sold there were donations from our community members. So thank you so much for making that actually possible. And we got to give a big shout out to Jupiter Next, our neighbors right down the street. They donated the space that we had the book and record sale in. So thank you so much for helping us make this possible for our community. We can't thank everybody enough who came in and volunteered their time, helped us be cashiers, helped us set up, helped us take it all down, and everybody on the events committee. So many people to thank that make this possible, and we really always love seeing how much of a community effort it takes to help run our station, whether it's from our individual volunteers or even our neighbors right here in the community. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This has been a great way to end 2019 and a great way to go into 2020. So let's keep it up, everybody in the community. This is truly your community radio station, and you all are making it possible. All right. Well, now we got some announcements for all the things that are happening inside KWU. One of the things that you should all jump onto your VicNet accounts if you're volunteers is to sign up for classes. We got lots of classes coming up in the news department. Coming up this Saturday, January 11th from 3 to 5, we have the FCC legal training class. So if you haven't taken that one, good time to get on that. Tuesday, January 19th, we have a newsroom orientation. We have two of them happening that day on Tuesday, January 19th from 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and also one in the evening from 5 to 6 p.m. That's all for volunteers who want to, well, get oriented with our newsroom. So if you've never been in the newsroom before and you want to learn how to get involved in the news team, that's Tuesday, January 19th, there in the morning, 10:30 and 5. On Friday, January 17th, we have an intro to audio class. So make sure you sign up for that. Saturday, January 18th from 2 to 4 p.m., we have a field recording class. For all you people who are looking to do reporting, especially for our street coverage in the year 2020, we got all sorts of things happening out in the world of Portland politics. That's always a good skill to get ready for her here early in the year. Thursday, January 23rd from 4:30 p.m., we have an anchor and announcer training. So if you have ever been curious about how you anchor on the KBOO Evening News, well, that's a good time to go get trained for that. In the web and tech departments, they will be, oh, this one's a fun one. On Wednesday, January 15th, we will be taking pictures for the Dogs of KBOO calendar that is forthcoming. So if you have a KBOO dog, bring them all down to the station. Actually, first, what you need to do is email our web developer, Janka, which is at web@kboo.org. Again, that's web@kboo.org. And schedule a time for your dog to come in that day on January 15th. We're taking pictures in the evening of the Dogs of KBOO. So if you got a KBOO dog, go ahead and email Janka, again, web@kboo.org, and schedule your time with our photographer for the Dogs of KBOO. That's Wednesday, January 15th again. Happening tomorrow is the monthly engineering meeting. So that's Thursday, January 9th from 7 to 9 p.m. here at the station. If you're interested in learning more about engineering or helping out our engineers, then show on up to that meeting. Anyone can just show up to the engineering meeting. Again, that's tomorrow night, January 9th from 7 to 9 p.m. Then if you are a finance person and you love crunching the numbers, we have a finance committee meeting on Thursday, January 16th, and that meets from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Again, that's Thursday, January 16th. For all you money cruncher people who love the spreadsheets, we appreciate you. Then we have our events committee that having their monthly meeting. They're meeting on Tuesday, January 21st. And McCray, who is one of our staff members who helps run the events committee, wants to point out to everyone that she thinks that this is the most fun committee in KBOO to be part of, because you get to help plan those fundraisers that you see KBOO doing, the concerts that KBOO does. The book and record sale was their most recent event that they planned, and you get to really learn all sorts of elements of what it is to plan an event. So if you have experience, we would love your experience in helping out on that committee. If you have no experience planning events, this is a great place to learn of what goes into planning an event. You'll learn the development side, the finance side, the scheduling people, working with volunteers. It's a great committee to be part of. And I don't know if I want to play like favorites and say one committee is more fun than the other, but I will say that whenever I see the events committee, they are having a ton of fun. So if that's your jam, events committee, January 21st, Tuesday from 5 to 6 p.m. Then we have our monthly board meeting from 6 to 8 p.m. on Tuesday, January 28th. And this is important to note that usually our board meetings have been happening on the fourth Monday, But for this month in January, it's going to be happening on the fourth Tuesday. So again, that's Tuesday, January 28th is our board meeting from 6 to 8 p.m. here at KBOO. Okay, then finally, from our membership department, we have our winter drive coming up. It's a short drive that happens in February. So if you're a volunteer who usually does the phone answering or supervising or all the things that get involved in the drive, go ahead and sign up through your VicNet accounts. If you have any questions, you can email our volunteer coordinator at volunteer@kboo.org. So hurry up and do that. We always love seeing everybody come out for the drives, and this one's a really quick one. So it's just a quick hello. So we're completely out of time for this week's News from the Boo. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you ever want any more information about what's going on at KBOO, just log on to our website at kboo.fm. And we will be talking to you again next week here on News from the Boo, which is every Wednesday from 5:45 to 6 p.m. I'm Jenny Yokoyama, your interim station co-manager here at KBOO Community Radio. Thanks for listening.
This is KBOO Portland. It's coming up on 6 o'clock. In a moment, we'll be listening to an episode of Rising Up with Sonali in place of the Right to Survive program, which will return at its regular time. Thank you.
From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. On today's show, we'll bring you a one-hour special with journalist Tom Hartman, who's written two books as part of a new series called Hidden History. First, Tom will discuss the hidden history of guns and the Second Amendment. Then we'll play an extended conversation about the U.S. Supreme Court and what Hartman calls the betrayal of America. That's coming up in just a moment. From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV.